That's true. My hair is getting kind of long, but there's very few barbers, hairdressers, if you will, here in the bunker, deep beneath the earth in South America. Hi, everybody. Martin Zender reporting once again. And if you're on the bunker cam, I am smoking my Friday cigar in celebration of another week closer to the end of this thing, the end of this old thing, the end of this harrowing thing, the end of this great trial. And we are going to be coming into the blessed expectation that God has given us as members of the body of Christ and for Israel. I'm not as happy for them. I mean, I'm kind of happy. I'm not quite as happy for them because they are coming into the day of indignation. It's the birth pangs, but they're finally going to get what they've been longing for. But as you know, none of them accept their Messiah. That's a problem. That's a problem. They've been locked up in stubbornness, but God is going to unlock them, and they're going to be coming into their kingdom. Now, I told you that I'm using as a template for this series, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ by A. Enoch. Where can you get this book? Well, StudyShelf.com has reprinted it. It's originally from the Concordant Publishing Concern. A. Enoch wrote it, and it is out-of-print hardcover from them. But we are reprinting it at StudyShelf.com in a hardcover. Not a hardcover, but a physical book. You can get this book online. Follow along with me. I'd like you to do that, because, again, I'm using this book as a guide. Of course, I'm going to riff. I'm going to do my Zender thing. And I'm going to elaborate and give you insight into things. A. Enoch is such a concise writer. So I'm going to anti-Enoch. I'm going to anti-A. Enoch this book. He's so precise. He says so many things and so little space. Like, he'll pack an entire 5 days of this show in one sentence. So I will, like, unravel him. I'll, like, double-click on one of A. Enoch's sentences. And I'll double-click on it, and then I'll expand the folders, and I'll bring stuff out in detail that he doesn't in his book. But it's a great start. Go to concordant.org, concordant.org, and download this book for free, and then you can follow along with me as I expound and Zenderize this book. That's concordant.org. The book is called The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. Now, concerning the book of Revelation, I told you that it's specifically to bring Israel in. Some people think that the book of Revelation is totally localized. Like, these are just things that are going to happen in the land of the Middle East. Well, that is not true. It's so tempting to force God's judgment to take on this small scale, because that's all we're used to. Oh, sure, there's an earthquake in San Francisco, there's a tsunami in Japan, but these are localized troubles, and we are not used to thinking big. We're not used to thinking on an aeonian scale, because it's scary, for one thing. We don't think it's possible that God could do it. Because he doesn't do it, and he hasn't done it. And here's the problem. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Oh, God, my Bible's falling apart. It's kind of small quarters here in the bunker. Okay. Peter talks about those who scoff and saying, where is the promise of his presence? I'm in 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 4, where's the promise of his presence? For since the fathers, I've read this verse to you many times, for since the fathers were put to repose, all is continuing thus from the beginning of creation. In other words, we ain't seen nothing. Who do you think you are telling us that God is going to do this huge thing in the earth? It seems so unlikely. Yes, it does, because we're not used to it. But Peter says they want to be oblivious of this, and they are oblivious of this, that there were a heavens and an earth of old, cohering through water by the word of God, through which the then world, being deluged by water, perished. And the heavens and earth now, by the same word, are stored with fire, being kept for the day of the judging and destruction of irreverent men. The coming destruction of irreverent men and women. Some women are irreverent. mostly men, it's true, but some women are irreverent. And God is going to bring just judgment on them. But because we've never seen something as epic as this, we can't imagine how it could possibly happen. So this is a wake-up call because the earth is asleep and they dare God to come get them. Where's God? People shake their fists into heaven. Where's God? Well, they're going to rue that day. They're going to wish they had the days back when God wasn't showing himself. And the perfect example is Noah's flood. Because Noah's flood was worldwide. Now, I had a man tell me one time that he thought Noah's flood was localized, a local flood. But honestly, I try to be respectful of everyone's opinions, but I don't see how you can read in Genesis that the water covered the tallest peaks on the earth by several cubits. The water was several cubits higher than the highest mountains. And say that it was a local flood. And when the Genesis account says that everything that had breath perished, that doesn't sound local. Everything on the earth that breathed died, except for eight people. And Jesus tells us that as in the days of Noah, so shall it be with the coming of the Son of Man. As in the days of Noah. And then what does he say next? He says people were eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage. Basically, they were asleep. They were doing their things and saying, like the scoffer in 2 Peter, where's the promise of his coming? Everything's the same every day. We haven't seen anything different. But Peter said, you're oblivious of several things that happened on the earth. Number one, the earth cohering out of water was disrupted. The disruption of the world, the cataclysm that occurred in between eons 1 and 2. They're also oblivious, apparently, they shouldn't be, of Noah's flood. Noah's flood was an earth-wide cataclysm. Drowned everything, killed everything on the earth. And likewise, everything on this earth, not everything. This isn't going to be as the days of indignation, the tribulation, is not going to be as, how shall I say, killing as the days of Noah, as far as numbers. But as far as severity, it's going to be far worse, because you could attribute Noah's flood to some really hard rain. We're having a spell of bad weather. It's kind of the wet season, wouldn't you say? Not so the day of indignation. People are going to know that God himself is bringing about change, and it's sudden change. Now, there is a movement called preterism. And I'm going to be talking to you about this, which says that these events of Revelation aren't even going to happen. In fact, they're all past, because the day of indignation, quote unquote, happened in 70 AD. That was the time of trouble Jesus was prophesying of in Matthew 24. Because we know that the armies of Titus sacked Rome and they didn't leave one stone upon another of the temple. This was a trial for Israel, yes, but it wasn't the trial for Israel, because the trial of Israel is going to take away irreverence from Jacob. My gosh. Let's turn to Romans chapter 11. Sorry, it's my cigar getting in the way. I'm only going to smoke a cigar on Friday. I am not addicted to nicotine. I like to smoke an occasional cigar. I never did it before until they got me on it in Pennsylvania. So now I do it once in a while, and I thought, why not do it on Fridays? Not only just for some good times for me, but not only to, you know, cover the camera with smoke, but also to celebrate another week closer to our being together with the Lord forever. Paul says in Romans 11 that God is going to remove irreverence from Jacob. Remember I said that the tribulation and the book of Revelation, the events thereof are going to produce great things. One of these things is this. Paul says in 11:25, I'm in Romans. For I'm not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, brethren. I'm going to be going into this in detail. This isn't a study on the book of Romans, but I'm going to tap into many scriptures to elucidate for you what's going to happen at the end of the aeon. That callousness in part on Israel has come until the complement of the nations may be entering into their expectation. The nations have a different expectation than Israel. Thus, all Israel shall be saved according as it is written. Listen to this. 26, verse 26 of Romans 11. Arriving out of Zion shall be the rescuer. He will be turning away irreverence from Jacob. Have you seen this yet? Have you seen God rescuing his people yet? Have you watched the news lately? Have you looked at CNN? And have you seen God rescuing his people? I have not seen it. His people are getting into worse trouble than ever. The Arabs are after him. The whole all the nations are going to be gathered around them. It's beginning now. Persecution, persecution. He will be turning away irreverence from Jacob. Well, part of the reason is because Israel itself is irreverent. They don't recognize their Savior. That's going to change, but it's going to take trial. And this is my covenant with them whenever I should be eliminating their sins. It's a covenant. It's a promise God made. There is a movement out called preterism, which says that God is not going to fulfill his promises to Israel. It's called also called replacement theology. And it's based on this fact that the day of indignation has already come in AD 70 when the Roman army sacked Jerusalem. But I didn't see irreverence removed from Jacob then. I didn't see the covenant God made with Israel fulfilled then. I didn't see God putting his law within the hearts of Israelites. And I don't know if you've been to a zoo lately, but the lions have yet to lay down with the lambs. That's going to happen, though. And they go to verses like, the kingdom does not come with observation. I'm going to explain that to you. They go to verses like Matthew 24. Jesus says, this generation shall not pass away till all these things shall be occurring. That's not what Jesus said. It's a translation issue. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Well, that means it's not a literal kingdom. It's not political. It means it's in your heart. Well, it starts in the heart of Israel, but it goes outward into the whole earth. Going to talk about that. Now, I'm out of time, and I'm sad because I have a lot to say. On Monday, I'm going to start with a high note. I'm going to, again, remind you of Paul's gospel. For those of you who are scared of the book of Revelation, you're scared. I understand. Yeah, it's a serious thing, and I don't mean to be jovial and light about it. Maybe I'm smoking a cigar right now to help myself cope with it as well, because it's a hard thing. But we're going to talk about Paul's gospel a little bit. And then I think next week, we're going to start going verse by verse. We're going to start with, I don't know, let's try chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of Revelation. So maybe somewhere around Wednesday. We'll see. Folks, you know, I have a rough outline here, but I'm discovering things as I go here, what to talk about, what the Spirit of God would have me to say to you. My goal is to bring you blessing. My goal is to banish fear from your life. My goal is also to let you know that these are akin to the days of Noah, these days, and we are entering a period of judgment, the likes of which the earth has never seen, no, not even the flood of Noah. And I would be remiss if I did not warn you of that coming indignation, but God has given us a lifeboat out of this, and it's called Paul's Gospel, and we're going to talk about that Monday. Have a good weekend.